let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe.
Just believe. In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world. Change the world. You can do it. You can do it.
The time is now.
Time is now.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
Just believe.
Life Changes for sure. This is Filippo Voltaggio, and this is Life Changes. As I am reflecting on tonight's show, you all have heard me say several times before a show saying, how perfect that I manifested a situation this week that we're going to get to talk about on the show. And today, as I was preparing this monologue, I thought, wait a minute. Wouldn't it be more perfect if instead of manifesting the problem and then learning how to deal with it during the show, what if we had the show first? And if the quote-unquote problem had to manifest, then I could use what I learned on the show when the quote-unquote problem arose. So though the problem already happened, or the opportunity, as we might say, already happened this time around, I'm going to propose that I'm going to manifest that the next time something like this has to come up, I will say, perfect, we've already had a show on this situation, and I remember what our guest said about it. I learned something, and I'm going to use it right now to the best of my ability. Let me let you in on what happened. So, why this show is perfect, and why I wish we had had this show before this happened. But there was a situation where, let's call him a consultant, was brought in to a company, and this company requested something of this consultant, whom I know. After a period of time, this consultant came to the conclusion and said to me, Filippo, I have to be honest with you. The three things I was afraid would happen, happened. These people have this going on, and I knew this from the start, and I almost told you, and maybe I should have, that this was the way this was going to come to pass. That this was going to happen, and that this was going to happen, and that this was going to happen. And sure enough, Filippo, they did. I'm at a loss at what to do now. The interesting thing about this particular situation is that I am intimately familiar with all the parties involved. And interestingly enough, in this particular situation, I had expectation that A was going to happen, and B was going to happen, and C was going to happen. My A, B, and C was completely different, if not opposite, of the quote-unquote consultant's A, B, and C. And the interesting thing is, when I looked at the situation objectively, I noticed that the people involved, the company, did A, B, and C just like I expected they would. and I could not see the A, B, and C that the consultant was seeing. And I realized that the quote-unquote problem is that the consultant had a predetermined idea as to what was going to happen, and that a self-fulfilling prophecy came to be. But the irony is that it really didn't, at least not how I see it. What came to be is the consultant's perception. And that what really is happening, at least according to my perception, is a completely different A, B, and C than what the consultant projected. And so, first of all, be careful who you choose as a consultant, quote unquote. But secondly, was this consultant making the future? Was he planning the future with what he saw as what would be the end result? And so I think I handled the situation or gave my understanding and expertise as well as I could. However, I think had we had this conversation with our guest tonight beforehand, I think I might have done even much better. And so I'm looking forward to what our guest, Dr. Janice Vilhauer, has to say about what happened and how we all can do what she says to do in her book, Think Forward to Thrive, how to use the mind's power of anticipation to transcend your past and transform your life. When we come back with Dr. Janice Vilhauer right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We are back, and I am so looking forward to this conversation with our guest because it's future-directed. What could be more life-changing in the positive way should we choose to think positively about the future? Think Forward to Thrive is her book, How to Use the Mind's Power of Anticipation to Transcend Your Past and Transform Your Life. Dr. Janice Vilhauer is our guest. Now, she is a psychologist at the Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, who specializes in the area of future-directed thinking and developing skill-based methods by which people can learn to create positive future thought and action. What could be better? Dr. Vilhauer is the director of Emory's Adult Outpatient Psychotherapy Program in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Science in the School of Medicine. So, without further ado, I'm sitting here in the studio with guests of our own, actually, along with our guest who's going to be on air. And later on, we're going to be playing Rising Appalachia from a live event that we did. So you're going to want to stay tuned for some beautiful music. And with me is Mark Lejeune and our guest, Dr. Janice Vilhauer. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you. Where were you last week when I needed you?
You know, that story that you told was such a perfect introduction to, the reason why I wrote Think Forward to Thrive. You know, what you described is so much a part of the process that every person on this planet goes through, that we all participate in the experiences that we see and the events that, you know, we create in our own lives. And, you know, we think that oftentimes that life is just happening to us and we don't realize what active participants we really are in the experiences that we are actually having.
which technically is well, one can look at that as the bad news, but with the right understanding, which we're going to talk about today, it's the really good news.
It is good news. And as you said, you know, if it's outside of your awareness, then it's something you're not controlling, so then it doesn't sound so great. But once you're aware of the process and once you're able to recognize it as it's happening, then you can begin to shape it and have it go in the direction that you want to go so that it actually produces favorable outcomes for you.
Let me ask you this right off the bat. How deep does this go before we get deep into it ourselves? Is it something that we're talking about if we're actually doing meditation and projecting the future? Or is it as simple as saying, oh God, I never win at anything, or my life, you know, I just got bad luck, or, you know, it's as simple as that too, right?
Well, our thoughts are very important in terms of the expectations that they set up for us. The way expectations work is most of the time we are using the past experiences that we've had to project into the future what we think will occur, or to make predictions about what we think is going to happen. When we're using past experiences, we don't actually know yet what will happen. So we start to act in ways that are according to what we think will occur. And as if we're acting in that way, we actually will start to, you know, feel things. Sometimes we'll feel anxiety before an event actually happens. We'll feel fear. We will have ideas in our mind and start to create images about the things that we expect to occur. And as we do that, we then act accordingly to what we expect, and we participate in creating those events.
I'm listening. I'm so listening.
So basically, once we're doing that, we're also, and it's not only that we're predicting and participating in creating the events, what we're also doing is our expectations create a filter through which we then selectively collect the information in our environment to match up with what we expect to be true. So when you were telling the story about the consultant had, you know, one set of expectations and you had another set of expectations, and when you were both looking at the situation, you both believed that, you know, your own set of expectations is what really occurred. The reality is that you were both selectively sifting from the environment the information that was there to sort of match up with your own expectations. That's how we all participate in our experiences all day long. We're constantly selecting and sifting information to match up with what we expect. So that's why our thought process and our beliefs that we have in life are so important, because if we believe something negative about ourselves, we're oftentimes then looking into the environment to find the events that match up with that, and we believe that we're creating evidence or proof for our own belief, and that's how a belief is maintained. Oftentimes, what we're simply doing is we're just ignoring all the evidence to the contrary. So, you know, if someone goes to a party and, you know, 10 people say, gee, you look fabulous, one person says, that's an interesting shirt you have on. If you're someone with low self-esteem, you go home, you fixate on the comment about the shirt, and suddenly it's become, gee, they told me I looked awful, what's wrong with me, why can't I ever dress well? You know, so you create, you know, a whole series of you know, thoughts and behaviors that sort of match up with the original belief.
But to add to that, what I'm hearing is that not, at least for those people that aren't yet ready to own the power of their own creation, and look at kind of their participation in that thinking and searching, even if it may be negative, as a passive action. What you're doing is shifting the balance of power. What you're suggesting is shifting the balance of power by bringing that to the forefront of the awareness and using it proactively and positively.
Exactly. So with future-directed therapy, what we start off with is teaching people the process by which their thoughts are creating their experiences. And so, you know, most people aren't necessarily even noticing their own thought process. They just kind of are acting, going about their day-to-day life. Oftentimes when you ask somebody, you know, what were you thinking in that situation, they can't really give you a very clear answer because their thoughts and their actions and their feelings are just so enmeshed with one another. They're just sort of having an experience. They're not really breaking it down. What we do with future-directed therapy is we really break it down very, you know, clearly and define, you know, emotions versus thoughts versus, you know, versus current beliefs versus future expectations. And we get them to really be able to be aware of that process so they can see how it's happening. And as they see it, they begin to have, you know, a level of awareness where they recognize what they're doing. And then that awareness opens up a window of opportunity to actually change.
And you developed this for how and why?
Well, I've been a psychologist for about 12 years, and about halfway into, I would say, my career, I started to feel somewhat frustrated a lot of times when I was working with clients because I felt like it was very easy to get people to understand, you know, how some of the past experiences were contributing to how they were feeling in the present. But it was much, much more difficult to get them to actually do something different. And I realized that the stream of thinking around why something happened was very different from how to make a change. And so I really wanted to understand better what was it that facilitated change. And I started to observe my clients, and the ones that were actually able to really improve in life were always the ones that were focusing on goals and able to achieve them. And so I decided to dig further into the psychology literature, really look at, you know, what is it, how do we produce, you know, future experiences? And what I found was a whole body of research that really indicated that the key to well-being is being able to anticipate positive future experiences. And yet so many people with depression have a very difficult time doing that. So future-directed therapy is really an intervention that took the science that was out there about, you know, how we create our future experiences, and I put it together in an intervention that people can do in a very step-by-step way.
Wow. You know, one of you were here at UCLA, and I'm thinking, gosh, let us know when you're back so that we could meet face-to-face and potentially do something on camera or at a live event, because this is too good to just do one radio show on. Agreed?
Well, thank you so much. I would love to. I mean, I can honestly say that when I started to do this work with patients, I do it in a group format. We initially started it with a group format. And watching the process of, you know, people in the room who were so struggling most of their life with being able to, you know, feel hopeful about anything. These are people with, you know, very serious depression. Watching them take this material and learn it and really start to have this incredible sense of awareness and empowerment and to see people. There was a client early on who literally had not left his house in 6 months hardly, and within 6 weeks of being in this class he was actually at a full-time job. So it's pretty incredible some of the changes we started to see people making, and that's really what motivated me to kind of keep going and, you know, get this out there. In my field of psychotherapy, it generally takes about 15 years to develop an intervention and get it out there, you know, to the point where it's, you know, available to the public. So I've been working on this for about 5 years now, and that was the reason I put the book out, because I really wanted these skills to be out there to people because I saw how really powerful they were.
Well, Janice, you mentioned depression, and that's one of the things that I thought was fascinating about this work, is that it helps greatly with depression. And so when we come back, I'd love to know exactly how does it help. And then as we get into this, I also would like to know some of the unique skills or techniques that you could share, one or two of them, as people are hearing about them and something that they might be able to do this week after hearing you, along with buying the book. The book is Think Forward to Thrive, How to Use the Mind's Power of Anticipation to Transcend Your Past and Transform Your Life. Dr. Janice Vilhauer is with us. We'll be back with her right after this. If you'd like to know in the meantime how to get the book, you can go to futuredirectedtherapy.com. And stay tuned because we're going to have Rising Appalachia going to be performing as they did in our live event that we participated in just a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to be sharing with you some of the music that we captured that night and a little bit of the interview. So when we come back right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back with our guest, Dr. Janice Vilhauer, and the book we are talking about, actually, the book is the book, Think Forward to Thrive, and actually it's about systems that can help all kinds of things. And before we took a break, we talked about depression, and this is a big, big topic, and I'm sure we could do at least more than one show on that alone. But if you can net it out for us, Janice, how does this system, how does the book describe how exactly it helps depression?
Right. So as I was saying just a few minutes ago, future-directed therapy was originally developed as a treatment for depression, although the skills in the book really can be used by anyone who's interested in creating more well-being. But essentially, the research on future thinking shows that people with depression tend to have difficulty anticipating positive future events. And this is different than how we used to think about depression, where we thought that people with depression were just more negative than everybody else. But it turns out that that's really not the case, that they actually have a lot of difficulty producing positive future experiences in their minds to look forward to. And it turns out that this is related to a very biological mechanism in the brain called the reward processing system, that all humans need to look forward to things in order to experience well-being. We have to be able to anticipate positive experiences in our life. And with people with depression, that part of the brain seems to be very underactive. So the goal of future-directed therapy was really to teach people skills that would get them focusing on more rewarding experiences in their life, getting them to, you know, pay more attention to things that did feel good to them. And what we know is that attention is the sort of vehicle that activates the brain. So the more times people pay attention to something that feels good, the more things that they look forward to, the more that actually stimulates the brain. So the goal was to be able to stimulate this reward processing center in the brain.
Wow. You know, you're great at stopping at the places where a good question would come in, and I'm wanting to listen to so much more because this is so big.
You know, I have a question, kind of, I think that points to that a little bit, but what keeps coming up for me is this sense of personal power, that it seems, you know, as somebody that is, you know, I've in the past, having gone up and down the mountain a couple times, have certainly had my bouts with depression. And when I was in those states, you know, it was very difficult, as you say, to be able to see forward. Even events that I knew were core to my path and that I had a certainty about them coming around someday, I had a very hard time seeing. And yet, if I had these tools, I feel like it would have broken me out of that hopelessness, because it gives you a sense of being able to do something, or in essence, being in control, which I think when you're depressed, you're not in control or don't feel in control.
I think that's exactly right. You know, one of the hallmark features of depression is that, you know, people feel that things that were interesting to them previously no longer have interest. So even things that, you know, maybe in their life they had at one time looked forward to simply no longer feel appealing to them. And a lot of that has to do with this sort of effort that they're willing to put forward towards it, and the belief that they're no longer able to make the things that they want actually happen. And so a lot of times they don't feel in control. So that is one of the outcomes, I think, of the process, is that they're learning to have control, to recognize when the thoughts that are happening and are limiting them in their life are, you know, coming from past experiences. They learn a process of how to intercept that, how to be more aware of it, how to actually change their belief system. So I think you're right. I think that a large benefit that people get from this feeling of more control.
I think that's a big word, feeling of more control, because, right, we are in control through the entire time, but when we're in that state, we're not perceiving ourselves as in control. I think that's a huge shift.
I think it's the perception of control, but I actually think there's a literal component there as well, because, you know, you can't create positive future experiences for yourself if your mindset is focused on the problem, if you can't get yourself out of, you know, being fixated on the things that you don't want in your life. That the thought process that creates solutions and actually helps move you towards the things you want in your life is a completely different thought process than most people have when they're sort of in a depressed state. So there's a literal component where they're actually doing things that they may not have been doing before that are actually changing the outcome and actually allowing them to create more experiences in their life that they want to have.
The analogy that came to my mind as you were saying this is if you want to see a bird fly or an eagle soar, to use that analogy that's been used, you have to look up. If you're walking around moping and looking at the ground, there's no way you could see anything fly.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to shift.
Right. That your perceptions in life, the things that you see, depend on where you look. You know, so we teach people, you know, to look for the wanted experiences. You know, they don't realize that, you know, by default, they're oftentimes trained to focus on the unwanted things without even realizing that they're doing it. So where you look really does determine your experience in life.
And how, I don't know if, I think maybe this is not in the book, actually. I haven't had a chance to go through the whole book, but from what I see, I didn't find this, but if our bodies go through like a biorhythmic experience, and I have a feeling you would know the answer to this. If we go through a biorhythmic experience where we have biorhythmically high days and biorhythmically low days, and that's just the natural process, these experiences which we don't want, or sometimes we see them as failures, which sometimes we over-focus on, and then we go down a rabbit hole that's into negative, 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 maybe it's part of our life biorhythm. Have you given that any thought in your studies or research?
I'm not entirely sure what you mean by the biorhythm part. I mean, I know that a lot of, you know, experiences that we have are very directly affected to, you know, our biological process and to, you know,
right,
the chemical process that, you know, happens in our body. And so certainly, you know, the thoughts that we think have a very dramatic effect on, you know, the biology and the chemistry. You know, if you're focusing on a negative event or a negative stimulus in your environment, it actually is eliciting a different chemical than when you're focusing on a positive.
Wow.
So then the negative stimulus is actually the chemicals that are elicited from that actually begin to constrict your brain and shut your brain down so that you're not focused, that you're not able to use the problem-solving, creative side of the brain. So, you know, people who are you know, having a lot of problems and they're focused on the problem, what they really need at that, you know, moment is to be able to think of solutions, but they can't because their brain is literally constricted because of the chemicals that are being, you know, elicited from the things that they're focusing on. So, you know, getting somebody to shift over to the solution, to thinking about, you know, well, if I have this problem happening, you know, what is it that I want instead? What is the you know, place that I want to move to instead of being here? I want to be somewhere else. Now, as they begin to focus on a destination that they're trying to move to, then that begins to, you know, if it's a positive place that they're trying to get to, that starts to elicit, you know, a positive chemical, which actually begins to open up and expand the problem-solving part of the brain, which then helps them generate the solutions to figure out how to get where they're trying to go.
This is incredible stuff. And I'm hoping that when we come back, that you will be able to give us one or two things. And I know the book is full of this. And so I encourage people to get Think Forward to Thrive, the book, How to Use the Mind's Power of Anticipation to Transcend Your Past and Transform Your Life. So when we come back, there are two things that I'm hoping we can accomplish. One is that people talk about, well, is that not being in the now? And I have a feeling that's a question that's going to come up for our audience. And so I'm sure you have an answer to that. And also a couple things that we could use, that we could start doing today and that could change our life tomorrow when we come back with our guest, Dr. Janice Vilhauer. And again, that website is futuredirectedtherapy.com, where you can learn more about Janice and where you can get her book as well. And later on in the show, we're going to be having Rising Appalachia and a couple songs from them and a quick interview that we did at a live event at Full Circle, thanks to Full Circle Venice and to Nikki Jack Music. We will be right back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We are back with our guest, Dr. Janice Vilhauer. I am learning so much. I am always engaged in every interview that we have. However, I don't know that I always learn as much as I am learning today, and I'd like to learn more. So I have the book and can't wait to read it further, and I encourage people to go and read about everything we're talking about and more. Think Forward to Thrive, Dr. Janice Vilhauer, at futuredirectedtherapy.com. Janice, what about the moment? What about the now? Are we talking about not being in the now if we're focused on the future?
Well, that's a good question. That actually comes up quite a bit, because I think this idea of, you know, being in the present moment is very synonymous with our idealized sense of well-being. So people are constantly asking, well, how can I, you know, be in the present moment and also think about the future? And what I try to explain to people is that the arrival of the future and the now are really one and the same thing. That, you know, the future is continuously arriving into our now to become our present moment experience that we're living and having right now. And that's not an accident, that the things that show up into our life that we experience aren't an accident, that we have a great deal of influence over what those things are. And that, you know, thinking about the future is something that we have to do, that, you know, you can't get up and, you know, get off the couch and walk into another room without first anticipating and, you know, setting forth the intention that that's what you want to do. So, you know, everything that we do requires some sort of, you know, future-oriented type of thinking. We use mindfulness in future-directed therapy as a way to get people to be very centered and consciously aware of what they're thinking in the present moment. Because the present moment, or I should say the concept of mindfulness, is really not about a time frame. It's about this idea of being consciously aware. So you can think about the past, the present, or the future, but it's always happening now. It's always happening right in the present moment. So what we get people to do is be very conscious and aware of the thought process that they're having. So if they're thinking of, you know, an experience that's going to come up in the future for them, whether they're looking for a job, whether they're thinking, you know, about starting a new relationship, whether they're setting some sort of, you know, health goal for themselves, whatever it is, we get them to really, you know, be present with that intention that they're having, and to think about what is the emotion that comes up for them in that moment. When they think about the goal that they have, does it elicit a positive emotion, or is it eliciting something like anxiety or fear or feeling overwhelmed? And as they notice that emotion in the present, that's a clear indicator of what they're projecting out into the future. So if you don't want to create a negative experience for yourself, you know, we talked earlier about the self-fulfilling prophecies, if you don't want to do that, then in that present moment, you have that window of opportunity to say to yourself, you know, I'm going to change my thinking about the future experiences. I'm going to choose to act in a way that's more consistent with what I want, as opposed to simply recreating an experience, you know, in a sort of default mode without really having much awareness that I'm even doing it. So the mindfulness and the being present is really about being conscious and being able to make conscious choices about the future that you're creating.
Now, this isn't, I mean, it sounds great. I like it a lot, and I believe it. And yet it's not, I think a lot of people might say, oh, it's that wishful thinking, it's that positive thinking stuff, it's the law of attraction stuff. But there is actual scientific research, obviously, because you're approaching this from the medical side of the house.
Right. So there's a lot. I mean, we all create future experiences all day long. I mean, we can only move forward in life. So we're constantly in a process of creating our own future. The question is, how do we do it in a way where we're able to start to generate outcomes that we want, as opposed to simply being in a default mode and doing it without really having much control over the process? And there's a lot of research in psychology that allows us to understand the process that people engage in. You know, one of the things that is really important is that we act in direct proportion to how much we believe something to be possible. So we put forth as much effort as we think it's possible that we're going to get a return. We're actually very, you know, sort of cost efficient in our behavior, because if we don't think something's possible, we're not going to go expending a lot of effort to try to make it happen. So we oftentimes will only engage in the things that we believe truly we're going to get some return on our effort for. So, you know, I always tell people, well, you can want something, but if you don't expect it to occur. You're not going to actually take the actions to make it happen. So even something as simple as, you know, a lottery ticket, oftentimes to illustrate the example, I'll ask a group of people, you know, who here wants to win the lottery? And, you know, everybody raises their hand. And then I say, well, when, you know, what was the last time, when was the last time you bought a lottery ticket? And most people kind of look at each other and they say, well, you know, it's been 6 months. And I ask, you know, well, why is that? And they say, well, because the expectation that they'll win isn't there. And I say, well, that's how you're operating in the rest of your life. If you might want something really, really badly, but if you don't truly expect it to occur, you're not going to take the actions toward making it happen. So I tell people, you know, if you want something in your life and you can either, and you don't believe it's possible, you either have to change your belief or you have to give up on what you want. Because one of those things is going to happen. You can't have them both together. They can't both occur together.
Or this would move into the idea of baby steps, right? You know, giving yourself smaller wins rather than going after that one large thing that may not be so believable. But if you can take a step in that direction, which is believable, then you're operating from, you know, from a different iceberg, right? A more believable perspective rather than trying to climb, you know, the whole mountain at once.
Right. So that's a very, very good point. Most people, if you ask them what they want in life, they'll go for the sort of opposite of wherever they are. So, you know, if I feel like I've failed at business, you know, what do I want? I want to be, you know, a success at business. And we like that. You know, we want people to, you know, have the destination, the end goal in mind. But what happens so many times for people, you know, the reason there's so many, you know, broken New Year's resolutions is because people set these very big goals for themselves. They set the endpoint destination. And they don't, and then they look at the destination and they think, well, gee, I'm so far away from that. You know, how am I ever going to get there? They become very overwhelmed and then they just sort of give up. And so what we really teach people to do is, yes, it's good to have that endpoint destination, but that can't be your first goal. So you identify the destination, but then you have to realize that there's so many steps in between that are necessary in order to get you there. And, you know, if you can begin to just take, you know, a small step in that direction, that, you know, each step along the way increases your confidence and in your belief in your ability to get there, and you're more likely to go the full distance.
You know, I said that I was hoping you would give us one thing that we could focus on this week, kind of thing that would change our tomorrow. However, you've given so many. All anybody has to listen, and you weren't really that subtle about it. You didn't say, "Well, go do this," but basically, it's all here. You've given so much for anyone that can hear what was said can change their future right away in just this interview.
Well,
for the better.
I'd be happy to give you a few extra tips.
Okay.
I'm glad you got something out of it. But I think, you know, one of the things about future-directed therapy is that so many of the steps are actually quite simple, but very significant. And, you know, I tell everybody, no matter how big or how small your problem is, there's a very simple process that you can do that kind of gets you off of the problem and onto the solution. And the first thing to do is, you know, whatever the problem is in your life, like if it's 5 minutes away, or, you know, you're worried about, you know, something, a conversation you're going to go have with somebody, or whether it's, you know, a big goal that you're trying to achieve, the first thing you want to do is notice your emotion, because your emotion is telling you what the expectation is that you're having. So if it's fear, you know, you're focused on some aspect you don't want. If it's a positive thing, there's not much to worry about there. So we're generally looking for negative emotions. But notice the emotion. As soon as you recognize you're focused on something you don't want, really ask yourself this very simple question. Well, what do I want instead? And as you do that, you shift the train of thought over from, you know, being focused on the unwanted thing to suddenly focus, you know, being able to identify, you know, a different outcome, you know, the solution. You're moving in the direction of the solution. A lot of times people have difficulty identifying what they want. So simply by recognizing what they don't want, they can oftentimes just simply take the flip side. You know, if you're at a job you don't like and you have, you know, a boss who nags you, you can, you know, think, well, I don't want that. You know, what do I want instead? I'd like to have a boss that, you know, treats me in a more respectful way. And so if you go through, you know, your whole list of things you don't want, can flip it over and get to the other side, and you've now got an identified sort of list of things that you do want. And then once you have your target destination, the very simple question that kind of puts the entire future motion into process is simply asking yourself, well, how can I get there? You know, it's such a simple question, but it creates this cognitive dilemma in the brain. You know, how do I get from point A to point B, which is activating the executive network of the brain, which is the problem-solving part of the brain that can help you identify solutions to things or to problems that you don't even know exist yet. So it's a very, very powerful, you know, mechanism that, you know, simply by asking yourself, you know, how do I get to the place I want to go, and staying focused on that, it starts to activate and work in that way for you.
You know, Janice, we have a couple of people in the studio with us today, and one of them is a 23-year-old young man, and I can tell you are blowing his mind, and so thank you for that. He is so taking this in and nodding and applauding silently, and what a great sign that is, that if I had known this when I was 23, what a different life this would be. But I know it now. I've taken it in, and you're helping me get to another level with it. You're brilliant. So glad we had this conversation.
I wish I would have known it at 23 too. Don't worry.
Well, we know it now. We're sharing it with the 23-year-olds and the 22 and the 21s, and it's never too late for anybody that's above that as well, obviously, as we're showing tonight. So we're happy to have had this conversation with you. Thank you for joining us all the way from a city I love, Atlanta, and look forward to connecting with you when we're either there or you're here.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
This has been wonderful. Thank you, Janice. And again, the book you can get at futuredirectedtherapy.com. As a matter of fact, you can learn more about this. And for those who might not have gotten it all in the first go-around, listen to the show again at lifechangesnetwork.com. We'll be back right after this with our guests, Rising Appalachia, who will be performing a couple songs that they did live for us when we were at an event with Full Circle Venice, put on by Nikki Jack Music. You're going to love this when we come back.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We're back. This is Filippo Voltaggio. I'm here with Mark, and I am so excited about everything I just learned or have reinforced inside of me.
It's like you were saying, this is an interview that I think is even more enlightening than so many of the brilliant discussions we've had. She touched on some points that I had never heard of. It's a brand new perspective, yet it's congruent with so many other guests. In fact, the one person I kept thinking of, and I was wondering where and how much the overlaps are, but boy, it would be interesting. Maybe you were talking about the live event to get them together and joust a bit, is Dr. Bruce Lipton and Biology of Belief.
Oh, yeah.
Because as she was discussing the science and applying the future-directed thought and the chemical reactions, you know, Bruce talks about belief and the chemical reactions and how then it changes your DNA. So that changes your very blueprint, which then circles back to the underlying thought process or belief system, which then you're operating from when you're taking those steps forward.
And we've interviewed him, and he was a very positive guy, so I'm sure they would be perfect. That's brilliant. Let's do it.
All right.
I see it happening. I am future directing. And so
positively.
It is. And so it is. And Well, we must have been future directing when we were at the live event at Full Circle Venice, with presented by Nicky Jack Music, where Rising Appalachia or Appalachia was the headliner. And so we did a quick interview, we played some music, so we're going to cut to that and hear a little bit of that as if we were there now, and enjoy this.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2.
Let's hear it for Rising Appalachia. They are not done. They've got plenty of great songs that they're going to play for us as we continue this great party we're having here at Full Circle Venice. But before we go on, we've extended our BBS Radio Network broadcast, and we've been taping this. So those who want to listen to this over again, we've extended it a half hour to be able to include some of Rising Appalachia, because we got a late start because we had so many other great musicians. But we're great that you're on. You are sounding great. By the way, I don't know what's happening in the monitors, but out there,
And in Radioland, everybody says, Lawrence, you sound terrific, right? You really do. You really do. So for those of you who don't know, we're looking up here at two beautiful sisters. They are related, the same mother and father. I don't know why that's a big deal, but that's a big deal. And so if there are two people that knew they were going to come down to Earth to make a big change happen, it's these two souls. And I'm just wondering, when did you all know that you had something musical to share, something of from the heart to share? When did you know?
I'd say we still are not really so sure of it, but I think that we followed all of the requests of our community and our audiences. So every step of the way has been kind of fueled and steered in a way in the direction of the communities that reach out. So we made it a policy a long time ago that we would go mostly places where we were invited, so we would never really try and come in and kind of elbow our way in. So each step of the way has been sort of a new avenue and a new surprise and a new relationship that we're building. So it's a slow growing process, and I think that's helped it make sense for us.
Well, Full Circle Venice here has certainly invited you, and it sounds like we've all taken them in. What do you all think of Leah and Chloe, Rising Appalachia?
What about when you were a little girl? When did you start singing? Is that a good question?
Okay, so I'm on this thing about these two sisters, and did you just all of a sudden start singing to each other, or how did that start?
We come from Georgia, from the South, and our parents are both musical aficionados of sorts, and there wasn't a specific day and time where we started singing, but our whole community were singers and movers and shakers and Southern folk musicians, so it just kind of was the soundscape of our childhood. And so when you grow up with something like that, you kind of can naturally step in and have a support unit. So we both started singing, you know, in choirs and with our parents and different things, and then, you know, Mariah Carey harmonies, and it went through the whole sort of trajectory of upbringing. But we had a lot of support the whole way through some amazing singers back home in Georgia, so that was definitely a first step.
And a lot of good, healthy critique there, too, you know? Our family keeps us in really good check. They're like, great, you're playing in front of people, do the dishes, that's awesome. You know, your banjo note, the C was a little flat. You know, they're just kind of like with us and also honing in on our ability to be like humble in the process. So we credit the greater community that raised us.
So that's what the other thing I was going to ask you about, the instruments. You play so many instruments. And actually, we should probably give a shout out to your guitar player and your percussionist, Biko on percussions, right?
Yeah, Mr. Biko Cassini.
You think you're dancing and sweating. Look at him. And over here we have David Brown, right? Woo-hoo-hoo. David Brown on guitar.
Stand-up bass.
And you all take turns playing the different instruments, so tell us about how you picked a couple of them up, or What brought you to the various instruments that you're bringing here to the music?
We both were raised with a bunch of piano and song in our house, and then it's one of those stories where, like, when you leave the house, then it all kind of becomes more important. So our parents played fiddle and banjo and piano. Our mom was a jazz pianist, still plays, and then got involved in Appalachian folk music when we were very little, and I moved out of the house and then out of the country at about 19, and I decided I would travel with a banjo because it reminded me of home, but I couldn't really play it. So I started like picking it up just as a reminder of where I come from, and then Chloe and I spent some time in the Caribbean and kind of continued fine-tuning from there. But I would say overall we like sculpt our instruments to accompany our vocals, so We keep it simple so that we have something that is a melody line to follow with us.
I heard a big yay because the sound all of a sudden got better, right? So we're ready for more music, I can tell. All right, so I want to ask one last question. And if you could say, where do you see Rising Appalachia headed in the next 10 years?
Well, to keep in the nature of how the project was developed, we just sort of roll organically. So we never really had a starting point, and we don't really have a finishing point. So when people invite us and it's going well, we keep going. And if that's ever not the case, we'll probably happily retire and become farmers and herbalists and sign out. So as long as the energy is coming to us and we can put good energy out, we'll keep going. And if that ever feels like it's going down, then we'll happily disappear.
Well, if tonight is any indication, there is no happily disappearing, not anytime soon at least. So this is Filippo Voltaggio, and this concludes our BBS broadcast for Life Changes. I want to thank you both. I want to thank Full Circle. I want to thank Nikki Jack. And I want to thank BBS for extending us an extra half hour so we can include these two beautiful women and their music. So with that, if we're ready to go, we're signing off, and I'm turning the mic over to Leah and Chloe and Rising Appalachia.
Well, with that, this is Filippo Voltaggio and Mark, and we are happy to have had Dr. Janice Vilhauer on the show, as well as having had the opportunity to meet and record and interview Rising Appalachia. Hope you all enjoyed that. Listen to the show again at lifechangesnetwork.com. This is Filippo saying, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.